KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a thunder shower, and it's 55 degrees. Since 7 a.m., we picked up 6/100ths of an inch of rainfall here at the KJAN studios for a total of 31/100ths when you include the overnight rain. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Radar shows a line of moderate to heavy showers extending from just south and around the Carroll area down through Audubon and to our just off to our west at the last scan across the Cass and Pottawatomie County lines, then down to Red Oak and the southwest corner of the state. Those showers and storms are moving to the northeast this morning. In the news, the October session of Healthy You will be held on Thursday, October 17th at the Cass County Health System. The program, entitled What is Medical Cannabis, will be presented by CCHS Pharmacy Director Crystal Starlin, the pharmacy director. She will be discussing several areas of medical marijuana, how it works, therapeutic uses, and Iowa's law for medical cannabis. Crystal has served as pharmacy director since joining CCHS in 2006. She, along with her staff, provide pharmacy oversight for all medications issued in the hospital for patients and inpatients receiving and outpatient patients as well. Those who are receiving treatments. Healthy You will be offered at noon again on Thursday, October 17th. It's a free educational series at the Cass County Health System, held monthly in conference room number 2 at the Cass County Hospital. That's located just inside the atrium. The public is invited and welcome to attend, but reservations are required as a meal is provided for all attendees. To register your spot, call 712-243-7479. The Shelby County Conservation Board is hosting an Iowa Fir Harvester Education Workshop next Saturday, October 12th from 8 a.m. to noon, and that'll be held at the Nishnabend Recreation Area Nature Learning Center. The Conservation Board invites you to come and learn about trapping from veteran instructors. Some of the topics covered include the history and heritage of the fur trade, biology and management of Iowa fur bearers, wildlife regulations and their purpose, ethics and responsibility, fur harvesting equipment and hands-on instruction, the basic of harvesting Iowa fur bearers, marketing, public relations, and the basics of outdoor safety and survival. All ages are welcome to attend. To register for the event, follow the link in this same story on the Ag or and Outdoor or Sports pages at KJAN.com. Well, the duck season is set to open this weekend, and the Iowa Department of Natural Resources reports that access to several of their popular wildlife management areas have been cut off by floodwaters. DNR wildlife biologist Matt Dollison says parts of the Riverton area's Jensen Tract, south of County Road J-46, are blocked due to flooding.
The boat ramp there and the walk-in parking lot that's very popular, both of those have been cut off by floodwater. The road is closed there due to water coming in through a previous levee blowout on the south end of that area. So that's kind of the new one.
Many other areas, he said, are also blocked by Missouri River floodwater,
including the MU Payne Wildlife Management Area, Alden Barr Wildlife Management Area, Copeland Bend and Forney Lake and Nottleman Island. Several of the roads that go to those are currently still underwater also. So I guess people just need to be aware as they head out for the duck opener this Saturday that, you know, they're could be limited access. They might want to get out maybe beforehand and make sure they can get where they want to go.
Dollison anticipates a slight reduction in the number of hunters coming into the area.
The main area at Riverton, north of the highway, is our most popular area, and it's currently still accessible both by boats at the boat ramp and by walk-in hunters. So I'm sure we'll still have quite a few hunters going there, and people can still walk in basically anywhere they can get on the other parts of the areas.
Dollison says the flooding isn't good for people, but it could be a boost for ducks and other waterfowl.
Waterfowl use water, so having a bunch more water around and a bunch more, especially these flooded, weedy crop fields that weren't able to be planted and that sort of thing, those are going to be great areas for the waterfowl to use. And there's going to be a lot of migratory habitat for the ducks and geese with all this water, so they'll be good that way, but it will probably spread the birds out quite a bit more than usual.
Likewise, Dollison doesn't believe the flooding will significantly impact the area's deer population. He believes most of the deer herds along the Missouri River have relocated to other areas such as the Luss Hills. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday said an Avoca man was arrested Thursday afternoon on a fugitive from justice warrant. 35-year-old Joshua Michael Bloom was taken into custody at a motel in Avoca and transported to the Pott County Jail. At around 1:15 p.m. Thursday, 25-year-old Jacob Dwayne Jens was arrested in Avoca following a traffic stop. He was taken into custody for driving while barred, habitual offender. Two inmates at the Pott County Jail were charged Thursday with possessing contraband in or around the grounds of a correctional facility. 50-year-old David Dwayne Bland of Omaha was being held on a $10,000 bond for the offense. A baggie containing methamphetamine was found inside the wallet of 32-year-old Raymond Edward Hint of Omaha, who was transferred to the Pott County Jail from a jail in Nebraska. Hint was being held on a $5,000 bond. A traffic stop near Highway 6 and College Road at around 10:45 p.m. Thursday in Council Bluffs resulted in the arrest of 20-year-old Marcus Ryan Michael Calmer. He was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia and possession of a controlled substance first offense, marijuana. Sheriff's officials in Union County report 31-year-old Sherry Lee Palmer of Afton was arrested Thursday night. Authorities said Friday that Palmer had been taken into custody on two Union County warrants for failure to appear. She was being held without bond for Union County in the Adams County Jail until being seen by a judge. Elsewhere in state news, lawmakers on the Iowa Senate Oversight Committee held a hearing Friday to look into recent break-ins at two county courthouses. The incidents allegedly involved the employees of a cybersecurity firm hired by the judicial branch. Senator Tony Bisignano, a Democrat from Des Moines, said the judicial branch put people's safety in jeopardy with what Bisignano referred to as a covert, stupid operation.
So I don't think you gave consideration to people. You had this concept of what you wanted to accomplish. And you insulted a lot of professionals. And you owe them an apology.
Chief Justice Mark Cady says he takes full responsibility as leader of the judicial branch.
We are doing everything possible to understand and correct those mistakes, to be accountable for those mistakes, and to make sure that they never, ever occur again.
Judicial branch officials say they do not know if someone at the agency they hired authorized the workers to conduct the late-night break-ins at the Polk County and Dallas County courthouses. An independent investigation and criminal cases are underway. Senator Amy Sinclair of Allerton, the Republican who is chair of the Oversight Committee, says senators will seek more information once the investigations are complete to ensure something like this never happens again. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, Administrator Andrew Wheeler released details Friday about the Trump administration's agreement on how much ethanol will be blended with gasoline. Wheeler says the agreement for what's known as the Renewable Fuel Standard, or RFS, will address concerns about blending exceptions given to small oil refineries.
By averaging the last 3 years of what the small refinery program takes and propose going that much higher than 15 billion gallons so that at the end of the day we net out at least 15 billion gallons or higher so that the corn farmers, the ethanol producers, have the certainty.
And about 30 ethanol and biodiesel plants nationwide have either temporarily or permanently shut down in recent weeks, including 4 plants in Iowa, because of the uncertainty caused by the waivers. Wheeler says this plan should help them.
For next year, we are putting a projection for the small refinery program into the requirements for on the refining side for what they have to blend, and that way that at the end of the day, in 2020, we will have at least 15 billion gallons of corn ethanol.
Wheeler says there are other things happening that will also help ethanol producers.
We also continue to export more ethanol as well. So the export market is growing. We did the E15 earlier this year, which is going to allow higher blends of ethanol to be sold nationwide.
Iowa's elected officials harshly criticized Wheeler following the granting of the refinery waivers, but they responded positively to Friday's announcement. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.